The Messiah and the Mahdi, one and the same person. From the traditions of the Holy Prophet, it is evident also that the promised Messiah was to be a follower of the Holy Prophet. One tradition tells us that the Mahdi is none other than the Messiah. لَلْ مَهْدِيُّ إِلَّا عِيسَى. Another tradition says, كَيْفَ أَنْتُمْ إِذَا نَزَلَ بْنُ مَرْيَمَ فِيكُمْ وَإِمَامُكُمْ مِنْكُمْ. How will it be with you when the Son of Mary will descend among you and you will have a leader raised from among you? These two traditions leave no doubt that the Messiah himself would be the Mahdi. He would lead followers of the Holy Prophet and would be one of them, not an outsider. To think that the Messiah and the Mahdi are two different persons is wrong. It is against the clear indication in the tradition, the Mahdi is none other than the Messiah. It behoves good believers to ponder carefully over the utterances of the Holy Prophet. If the utterances seem contradictory, it is for us to try and resolve the contradictions. If the Holy Prophet said, on the one hand, that the Mahdi would appear before the Messiah and the Messiah would then join the Mahdi and his followers in worship, and on the other, that the Messiah himself was the Mahdi, what are we to do? Accept one utterance and reject the other? Is it not rather our duty to consider the two utterances carefully and try to reconcile one with the other? The two utterances can be reconciled at once if we use one of them to interpret the other. It seems that the promise of the advent of the Messiah was couched in words which suggested that the Messiah and the Mahdi were two different persons. This suggestion is corrected by the tradition which says, no Mahdi, but the Messiah. This tradition makes it plain that the other tradition is metaphorical. It means that a follower of the Holy Prophet will arise for the purpose of revivifying the world, but will not have the rank of a prophet. Then, the promise relating to the second coming of Jesus will be fulfilled in his person, and he will announce himself as the promised Messiah. The tradition, therefore, tells us that the promised one will start his career as a Muslim reformer who will become invested with the office of Messiah. Divine prophecies have to employ metaphors. They would convey very little otherwise. If our interpretation of these traditions is not correct, then there are only two alternatives left for a seeker after truth, both of them absurd and dangerous. Either we admit that the tradition which describes the Messiah and the Mahdi as one and the same person is not a true tradition, or we admit that the Messiah and the Mahdi are two different persons and that the intention of the tradition is to point to a difference of spiritual significance in the two. It may mean that the true Mahdi would be the Messiah. The other Mahdi would be insignificant compared with the Messiah. It would be like saying, nobody knows but so-and-so. When we say such a thing, we do not mean literally that nobody else knows. What we mean is that the given person knows very much more. However, both interpretations are dangerous. One requires us, without good reason, to treat as spurious a tradition which is a well-authenticated one, true according to all sound criteria. The other implies that the Mahdi, in comparison with the Messiah, will be as nothing. Such a thought would be contrary to the traditions which teach that the Mahdi will be the Imam and the Messiah a follower who stands behind the Imam in a congregation. Both alternatives, therefore, are absurd. The only worthwhile interpretation we can put upon the traditions is that they foretell the coming of a messenger from among the followers of the Holy Prophet. This messenger will first present himself as a reformer and later announce himself as the Messiah of the prophecy. The same person will be the Mahdi as well as the Messiah. Except for this interpretation, there can be no plausible interpretation of the traditions on the subject.